Last Word on Today FM.
Now time for the Last Word on Sport, and joining me are Miguel Delaney, Chief Football Writer at The Independent, and Will O'Callaghan from Off the Ball and the Hurling and host of the Hurling Pod. Miguel, if I could start with you. In terms of swing weekends in the Premier League, it doesn't get more emphatic than the weekend just gone. And yeah, it's all pressure on Miguel Arteta and Arsenal at the moment.
Yeah, well, pressure to respond. But I think it maybe sums up some of the complications to this season, maybe. Now, there's an obvious kind of weight of expectation and on Arsenal, and kind of crushing discussion about Bottle and all of this. But it's probably a little bit easy to forget that it's actually City who have to win next Sunday. Of course, everything is now building up to this game. But as you say, despite those expectations and who needs to do what, momentum is currently only going one way. And on that, it's remarkable to think that the very last Premier League match week before this one, which admittedly was 3 weeks ago, Pep Guardiola was being asked whether he should concede the title because City drew 1-1 at West Ham, while Arsenal beat Everton thanks to Max Delman's intervention. This is only one game on. But obviously a lot has happened in that time. City have won a trophy beating Arsenal. They thumped Liverpool in the FA Cup. All that verve is back, and they followed up with this win over Chelsea. And they're three big wins in a row: Arsenal, Liverpool and Chelsea in different competitions. Well, Arsenal obviously got beaten in that Carabao Cup final, lost to Southampton in the FA Cup. And then there was the nature of Saturday's game where Bournemouth, really, they did a number on them. I think Arsenal can have concerns about how, you know, how they're so often beaten in man-to-man duels. They didn't have any concerted spell of pressure. And yeah, so while I think maybe there's the pressure can work in a different way, momentum is right now only going one way. And that is the biggest concern for Arsenal.
Well, Arsenal were at one stage looking at a potential quadruple. Now there's still a double possibly for them. What's your sense of how poor they were, or how poor were they from your perspective at the weekend against Bournemouth, and where does Arteta go from here? How does he settle his team down?
Yeah, look, I think you have to give a bit of credit to Bournemouth as well. So since Anton Semenyo, I'm sure we'll touch on, we talk about Man City, left Bournemouth, who was their most important player up until the end of the January transfer window, Bournemouth haven't lost a game since. And Bournemouth seemed to play with a certain freedom at the Emirates at the weekend as well. I mean, you heard the crowd reaction at the end of the game. It certainly sounded tetchy during there too. It reminded me of their defeat against Manchester United at the same venue a couple of months ago, where you could almost feel the nervousness around the Arsenal faithful during the game as well. And look, this is a natural consequence when Arsenal go 48 games and lose three games, and now they've lost three over the last month, as Miguel has outlined there with the EFL Cup final defeat Southampton, and now this defeat against Bournemouth as well. There is always that feeling that maybe it's a case of the wheels are about to come off, and Manchester City have got a really intimidating record, Danny, when it comes to April. So under Pep Guardiola, the last 32 games they played in April, they've won 29. I appreciate that maybe this Manchester City team might not be quite the vintage of some of the dominant teams at the turn of this decade, but the reality is that Guardiola generally gets things right at this time of the season. And you can feel that there is a team that are right behind them now in terms of this chase. And obviously this weekend becomes huge because Arsenal's approach has largely been be safe, be conservative, don't lose games. They're not good at coming back. Went behind 12 times this season. They've only won three of those matches. What approach do they take against Man City this coming Sunday? Because I think if City turn them over, City having already won the EFL Cup final against them as well, I think then panic stations start to hit for Arsenal. Funnily enough, if Arsenal get a draw at the weekend, you're thinking it's still in their hands between the end of the season. Man City would have to win every game, and Arsenal would have to slip up in order for City to turn around the title race. But you can't help but feel that there is a wave of momentum behind City now going into this fixture, which is exactly what they would have wanted.
And Miguel, those of us who watched the City versus Chelsea game, it was kind of frustrating to watch for 45 minutes, but then after the second, once the second half kicked off, City just ran riot.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, like, City looked a little bit anxious early on. I think maybe they didn't expect what Chelsea did. As Chelsea went, I think, back to what Rossignol had tried to do, especially going from man for man in his first few weeks. And Rossignol is good at that kind of thing. But obviously, there's a whole other range of issues swirling around Chelsea. Guardiola, as he has displayed a lot over the past few weeks, not least in the Carabao Cup final, he responded himself. Chelsea this time couldn't respond to that. And from there, the game was pretty much won. And I mean, two players that actually have been very influential for City, especially in 2026, are Ryan Cherki, who, unlike anyone at Arsenal right now, looks like he's enjoying his football, and Nico Reilly, who I think is obviously the young player of the season, another towering header.
He's having a great season.
His goal's already secured one trophy for City in that Carabao Cup final, and with the way yesterday went, maybe set them on the path to another. But it's possible he's out for Sunday, which could be one of those elements that tilt things.
Yeah. Will, the one player who looked a bit quiet to me was Erling Haaland, and obviously his record stands for itself. He has been phenomenal for Manchester City, but he was restricted in what he could do yesterday, and he looked somewhat of a forlorn figure on the pitch.
He did. I thought first half particularly he looked really frustrated. Again, I was wondering when Chelsea went with a ninth different centre-back combination of the season, whether that was going to be a problem for them. They have been chopping and changing in the centre of defence. But generally, they kind of held things up reasonably well. As Miguel said, up until half-time, it wasn't clicking for City. And then in the second half of it, as often happens, it's an inverted fullback in Nico Reilly who makes a big difference for them. And Ryan Cherki is playing with so much freedom at the moment. He's been, you know, brilliant in the second half of the season. He is now the creative fulcrum of that team. He's kind of stepped into Kevin De Bruyne's absence. And it can be one of those days where it doesn't really click for Erling Haaland, but City still create enough in the wide positions in order to get the goals. And, you know, 3-0 was reasonably comfortable in the end. The issue is obviously the injury that Reilly's picked up, and also Rodri, who's had a succession of injuries really since he came back earlier in the season, is now a doubt for this coming Sunday as well. So if he's missing and Rodri's missing, that probably tips the balance a bit against City. But I think the feeling was that both were knocks and they should be okay for this weekend. Again, this might be the benefit of City being out of Europe at this stage, that they can actually rest for the entire week
Indeed.
And be ready to go, because Arsenal still have to navigate that game against Sporting.
Miguel, the sight of a near half-empty Stamford Bridge by the time the final whistle went yesterday told its own story about where Chelsea are at.
Yeah, totally. There's a lot of dissent around the club, unhappiness about the direction of what... I mean, to the most basic question of what do the ownership the ownership primarily being a private equity group, what do they actually want out of this? How clear is the plan? And I suppose so many Chelsea fans feel like it doesn't feel like what their club is supposed to be. Now, on that, I suppose, if a team is winning, then everyone always feels it's their club. And this is the main issue, that Chelsea are suddenly a team that are not quite coasting right now, but they're in a very strange place with regards to where they are, not least what they've spent. And also, I think, as has been publicised a lot over the past few weeks, the losses that the ownership are making with the club, right? The losses the club is making. So, there's a lot of dissent around Stamford Bridge. It's not a happy place.
And Will, to the bottom of the table, another London club that's in a bad way at the moment is Tottenham Hotspurs.
Yeah, I'm starting to believe that they're going to go down. Now, this is obviously they fell into the bottom three after West Ham's good result against Wolves on Friday night. And I kind of thought Roberto De Zerbi coming in, this is the chance of that new manager bounce, which they really require. Maybe they go and play against the Sunderland team who are comfortable in mid-table, get a result, maybe finally get that first win of the calendar year. Didn't happen for them. And now you look at Spurs going into this coming weekend, where they're going to take on Brighton, who are the form team in the Premier League at the moment, winning 5 of the last 6. And it's just difficult to see where Spurs are going to pick up points. And, you know, teams around them did at the weekend. Even Nottingham Forest picking up that draw against Aston Villa was a very valuable point for them. West Ham seemed to have enough of point accumulation to potentially pull away from the bottom three. And you're not sure where Tottenham are going to pull a point at this stage. I think Spurs' best chance of staying up, and I'm glad it's you sitting in here and not Matt at the moment when I say this, maybe Leeds getting sucked back into it, because Leeds are bang out of form really since December as well. They play Manchester United, who obviously want to get into the Champions League, so it's going to be no easy feat for them this evening. Maybe Leeds get sucked into it, but I'm not thinking that Tottenham are going to outpoint West Ham and Nottingham Forest between now and the end of the campaign.
Miguel, is it still within Spurs' own hands to survive, or are they now beginning to become reliant on other people to do them a favour?
So now, mathematically, it's not in their hands, but I suppose the bottom of the table doesn't work like that, because it's not exactly like anyone at the bottom is going to go and win all their games. So it's different, obviously, to the top. I think the one exception there is Fulham's great escape of 07-08. But that is sort of, we're kind of getting there with Tottenham right now. Obviously, the gap isn't as bad. They're only 2 points off, to be fair. But it's more about the emotion, the feeling. And it's amazing. This is a team that hasn't won in 4 months in the league. That is incredible.
It hasn't won in 2026.
It's astonishing. Like, I have to say, I do think De Zerbi will make a difference. I must say, I was surprised with how Sunday went. I thought he would come up with something different than that. From what I've heard as well, I think there is some surprise at how thin his midfield was. he got it wrong, really. And I did would have to say what I've been kind of pinning predictions that Spurs would say up on, that De Zerbi is really, certainly tactically, a high-class coach. Most of that is based on instilling an ideology that can be risky in a situation like Tottenham's. But all the suggestions are, and at least his own words, that he's not going to do that. And cleverly, he's going to come up with individual game plans, which he is good at. But on Sunday, he didn't. And I mean, it should be stressed as well. Sunderland, I mean, I suppose it's a result in keeping with what has been a very impressive season for them.
Mm. And is this all a curse of the new stadium, or are there, you know, or is it this, that is this the Daniel Levy effect? Is this, or what's going on in Spurs? How do we describe what's going on, Will, in the sort of the collapse in form that they're seeing?
It's a cumulative effect in terms of Spurs have never really in recent years wanted to spend the money that was required on wages, particularly to bring in the type of player, maybe to bring them to the next level. Now, the reality is that the group of players that they've put together, even if some of the recruitment hasn't been perfect with the money that they've spent, are still massively underperforming where they should be. And then just the chop and change in style of manager that they brought in recent seasons as well. You know, to go from effectively Jose Mourinho, Antonio Conte, who play in a certain way, to then going very, very defensive with Nuno, getting rid of him and feeling that maybe he doesn't fit the philosophy of the club, to then going to Ange Postecoglou, who plays in a completely different style, and then going for Thomas Frank and saying that no matter what, they were going to back Thomas Frank, to getting rid of him mid-season, to bring in Igor Tudor to try and just maybe put a bandage over things to get to the end of the season, to now appoint Roberto De Zerbi, who was maybe the manager that they wanted before they went for Igor Tudor. Like, a lot of that has to fall on the ownership. I mean, obviously Daniel Levy's gone now at this stage, and you know, the Lewis family are effectively taking a little bit more control themselves. But the reality is they've not spent well, but also the way that they've changed managers has not helped things either. Like, it's players who've been bought for different philosophies trying to fit a manager. And as Miguel said, it's like, will De Zerbi now change things before the end of the season? Does he just go safety first and just get to the summer and keep them in the Premier League? Like, there's just so many questions and obviously an ill feel around the whole club at the moment.
Indeed. Well, listen, we could talk for a lot more on this, but unfortunately we are out of time. But to Miguel Delaney, chief football writer at The Independent, and Will O'Callaghan, thank you very much for joining us.
The Last Word on Today FM.